What is up, everybody? Welcome to Toffee Blues USA, your source for all things Everton American style. So we've got another support group joining me, Jerry. I am in Winston-Salem, North Carolina, but we have a different part of the country, a different region of the country joining us this time. We've got Chris Flaherty from the Connecticut Toffees joining us. And if you listen closely, you'll note he might not be from Connecticut. Just saying. So it's just a guess. So Chris, welcome. It's great to have you. Thanks for coming on.
Thanks for having us, Jerry. We're looking forward to it.
So Chris, Connecticut Toffees, talk a little bit about the Connecticut Toffees support group. Like, do they have a meetup spot in a specific city, or is it one of those things where it goes to several different cities, or how do y'all like to do it?
So to be honest, right now we haven't actually had a meetup because we're so new.
Really? So
we've got about 12 to 15 supporters. A couple I know from Liverpool, a couple that I know from over there originally, and I saw supporters clubs popping up, you know, around the country and around the world. So I thought, why not get one in Connecticut? Yeah. And after I did research, I've seen there'd been one in Connecticut, but there'd been no activity, you know, through social media. I reached out to the club and they said, no, go for it. So I managed to get it. But right now we're just talking through Twitter, through WhatsApp. I got a little WhatsApp group going with them. We managed to get like a pop-up shop going today with some merchandise out there. So just trying to spread the name as best as I can until we all feel safe to meet up and get together.
So this is exciting. This is a different like phase of really any of the groups that we've spoken to so far. This is like so fledgling and it's awesome. So this is, 12 or 13 members at the moment, just kind of talking via social media. So you don't really have like your, you know, meetup spot where you know, and honestly with pandemic, it's hard to figure all that out right now, especially like for your first meetup, you know, that would be difficult. But, so do you think, as far as this particular season goes, are you thinking about anything as far as any kind of meetup this season, or are you going to keep kind of staying the course?
I'm trying to get a meetup, but again, I just want it to be safe. So
yeah,
depending on how we go with the vaccine and how Connecticut goes as a state with the reopening and everything, then I don't know 100% on when or where it's going to be. I've got a rough idea of a few places like I used to frequent that I could call in on the managers and stuff where they'd be more than happy to welcome us. So yeah, we'll keep an eye out for them.
Oh, that's awesome. So yeah, so it's baby steps, but you're doing awesome. This is great. I always admire when I'm actually talking to somebody who's taking the initiative to say, you know what, I'm gonna connect and I'm gonna kind of be the hub, you know, kind of try to get things going. That's just great, because that's honestly, that's what we're noticing every single time when we have one of these shows, is that connection, the idea of actually connecting with other Everton supporters. So where in Connecticut are you?
I'm based in Trumbull, Trumbull, Connecticut, which is in Fairfield County. But a lot of the members are within, you know, a 45-minute radius of here. There's a few members a little bit further out who I know it's a little bit far for them in terms of the area, but when I've put it out there and I've spoke to some of them, they're more than happy to travel down, you know, to see the Blues, to see us, to get together as a group. So we will see.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Fingers crossed.
So how are you in Connecticut?
So originally, I have a long backstory. I've been over here on and off since 2002. I'm a soccer coach by trade. Working as a coach, then I played at college, then I went back to working as a coach, and now I'm just like a full-time soccer coach. I work in the States, so that's basically where I am.
So you coach all ages, or do you have a specific age that you usually focus on?
I coach all ages. I was coaching at the university level, coaching at the, you know, the travel level, the premier level, the tiny kids classes, everything.
Nice. That's great. What is your, do you have an ideal age where you're like, this is the age I connect with the most?
It's like 10 and 11. on it all depends on like if it's the girls or the boys. 10 and 11 girls, for some reason I take to them and they listen and they work harder. Yeah. And then it's the older girls at the college level that, you know, they want to play.
Yeah.
So they're into it, and you get a lot more out of them sessions as well.
This is cool. Very cool. Hey man. Well, so before moving to Connecticut in 2002, you said,
yeah.
Let's get a little bit more detail as far as before that, where were you?
I was in Liverpool. I was in Liverpool playing, working, and trying to watch Everton as much as I could, trying to get a match. But I had an okay playing career, so that kind of stopped me from going games sometimes, which wasn't always ideal.
Where did you play in the States? Like you said, did you play college ball? Is that what you said?
Yeah, I played there for Mitchell College up in New London, Connecticut.
I was going to say, is that yours?
That's my freshman jersey.
Very cool.
Yeah, I played up there.
That's awesome. What size is that? Is Mitchell College?
It's a small Division III school. When I was there, it was a junior college.
Yeah.
Changed over to Division III. But they're probably 1,500 to 2,000 pupils. Good for, you know, like sport management academics, which is what I got my degree in. The sports teams are generally do well. They've transitioned into Division III, so they're finding it a little bit of a struggle, but they're still doing okay.
That's cool. Yeah, I started off playing for Belmont Abbey College, which is about the same size. So it's kind of, it's very, very interesting. Yeah, it was a strange thing because I went to big public schools during my whole academic career. And then I went and I was playing soccer for this tiny little private Catholic school just outside of Charlotte, North Carolina. And it was different. It was a very different experience. But I got to be honest, I unlike you, which seems like you have had a serious passion for it, like I got burned out. I got burned out after 2 years of playing, and it was, and also, you know what? I think a big part of it was maturity level. I think it was maturity level. I don't think I had experienced enough life when I went to college.
I went into Mitchell as an older freshman. So I went in, the kids are 17, 18, and I was 19, 20. So, and I'd obviously living in a different country on my own was all like, grew into it a little bit. So that kind of helped me ease through college, should we say.
Yeah. Very, very cool. So sorry, there's people who are watching and listening to this, you got to realize I did not talk to Chris like at all. We started recording like 2 minutes after we met. So I'm learning a bunch about him right now. So currently let's delve into, I know you said you were living in Liverpool. What actually, is there a specific reason where you're like, that's why I'm an Everton supporter? Was it family?
Family.
Yeah.
Yeah. Whole family is Everton supporters. So, you know, we're born, not manufactured. So basically just straight into it.
Nice. Have you noticed a different, like, I'm always curious to ask someone from like a kind of like an original Everton supporter, somebody who was literally born an Everton supporter, the American Everton supporters that you met. Have you noticed a certain like personality profile out of those kind of folks that like Everton when they're like, because it's like we choose it, you know what I mean? So it's sort of like it's like we feel this like thing drawing us to this club. Now, have you ever noticed any kind of like similarities between these people? Like, I guess I'm saying these people, me and these people.
I feel a lot of them, from what I've met, like, as you said, you choose to be an Everton fan. So you've not gone, you don't go so far back. You know, you maybe go to the Tim Howard, the Landon Donovan, the Brian McBride. And if you're old enough to go back as Preki, you're going back that, you know, you're going that far.
Yeah.
So, and them sorts of players have been promoted by Everton, or, you know, you followed them because they were like, almost like pioneers of the US players going and playing abroad. So you followed their careers a little bit more to see, you know, to see how they've done. And I feel that's how they've come about?
Yeah. Like I don't know, for me, it was very much like, for a long time, we were unable to watch games. Like, you couldn't really watch many matches. So, and the only matches that were being played were like these massive clubs. And so my first season of actually watching Premier League football, that's when I felt Everton felt right. You know, it was my first actual full season where I was like, you know what? I care so much about this. I want to care more. If that makes sense.
I think that a club people can relate to as well, though, in terms of like, no one, like, we have high hopes for ourselves. Every Everton fan has these high hopes, and you know, at some point they're going to break your heart. Like, you know, they build you up, and then straight back at you, you know. Whereas, like, you're a United fan or you're a Liverpool fan, and you see this global name and all the superstars, like, you know, like a LeBron James wearing a Liverpool shirt, and you're like, he's just jumping on a bandwagon. You know that. Like, he sees a marketing opportunity and he's in on it. Whereas, who's marketing us? It's us, it's the Everton fans ourselves.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's one of the things that breaks my heart when there's a celebrity I like and they end up wearing a red shirt. So, like, I remember the first time I saw, like, Mike Myers, like, from, you know, Austin Powers and all that, and I saw him wearing one of those. I was like, oh, are you kidding me? No, I like your movies normally. Don't do that. Don't be red.
I'm not watching no more. I'm done.
You know? there's no choice. You have to, you know? For the same reason where, well, I rarely, like, I have hardly any of the color red in my whole, weird superstition.
My wife goes nuts.
Yeah.
I'm very anti-red. Mm-hmm. Like, nothing red.
So, talking a little bit more about you, the Everton supporter, who's your favorite Everton player this season?
I'm going to say, like, Decore or Godfrey, you know, for the obvious reasons. He came out of nowhere. I didn't know too much about him when we bought him. I don't know how many Blues did. And you're looking at 25 million and you're like, oh, what, like, for the track record we've had of spending money, you're like, why are we paying for that? And then he come on in the derby, looked good. Then he had a rough game at Southampton. And you're like, is this kid ready? Have we spent too much money? And then all of a sudden, he's just found his rhythm. And it's like, he needs to be on the team sheet. He needs to be in the game every time. And the same with the core, right? Like, look at last night's game. Look at the engine on him when he's got the ball, you know, 119 minutes into the game, and he's sprinting up and down the field still, chasing it around, winning the ball back. You know, so it's that sort of work ethic and, you know, the attitude that we kind of appreciate.
Yeah, but I love both those guys, but I got to say, Decore has been exactly what I hoped he would be. Godfrey, I had no clue. I thought he would be one for next season, for you know, coming seasons. I had no idea he'd have the impact that he's having now. But Decore, for me, I was like, I remember, like, when we were rumored to be talking to him, like, 2 years ago, you know, and I was thinking, gosh, that's the guy. That's what we're missing. That is a physical presence in the middle of the park that will run his guts out. He's a ball winner. He's a ball carrier. And he's not a bad distributor. And he scores every once in a while. You know?
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, that's definitely with you. Asking like a lifetime Everton guy this question, your favorite Everton goal?
That is a tough one. As far as I can remember, from me actually, you know, being at games, it was, I want to say, could be the Mikel Arteta one. Mm. Was it against Fiorentina? Because I'd went to Fiorentina as well. I went to the away leg.
Of course,
and obviously we'd lost and we've come back home and I've gone to that one.
Yeah.
And then, to be honest, any big dunk scores, because I grew up idolizing him, and I still do. You know, he's anything he does, he can do anything. He's just he's a hero. We got a dog and I have to call the dog Ferguson. Like,
yes, that's awesome.
Like Fergie for short.
Oh, that's great. And you know, people are probably misinterpreting that as well.
Yeah, 100%. Everyone thinks it's the royal family. I say Fergie. I'm like, no, is it soccer player? They're like, Alex Ferguson. I'm like, no, like, Google Duncan Ferguson. There you go. You'll thank me later.
You have to hand them a pamphlet. Like, this is the dog's name. This is how it works.
I have to put a pronunciation on it as well, because they misinterpret the way I pronounce it and everything. I'll let my wife speak when it comes to that bit.
Oh, that's great. All right. So, digging even deeper, I ask this question of everybody. So, if there's an Everton player that best represents your personality, okay, who you are, you're like, that player is everything I am as a person. You know what I mean? Like, so it could be certain characteristics on the pitch, could be off the pitch, however you want to interpret this question. I'm always curious as to what people go with on this.
I'm probably going to say Big Dunk again, because obviously I'm quite tall. Everyone sees me as nice, but you've also got that little bit of streak in you where someone's like, oh, you don't want to mess with him. You just don't want to mess with him. And I was quite perceptive at playing soccer as well for my size. People looked at me and it, you know, didn't think I could play, and I can actually play a little bit. So it was like, all right, I'll compare myself to Dunk.
Nice. Were you, what position did you play, by the way?
That's a whole can open the worms.
Is it? I had no idea.
I played in England and I was a goalkeeper. And yeah. I played for Atkinson and Stanley. I played for a couple of non-league teams.
Yeah.
I came over here to play at the college. Went in as a goalkeeper and freshman. Played 5 games my freshman year. And then was striker and top scorer for every season after that.
That is magnificent.
It was a whole change around.
Okay, I'm glad your story went like that, because you were like, oh, that's a whole can of worms. I was like, oh no, is this a bad story? That's a good story. No. That's great.
It's just no one believes it. Again, no one believes it. So it's a crazy. A friend of mine came to watch a game. He played at the school before me and left. Mm-hmm. Came and watched the game. I was on the bench that game. It's 0-0. The coach speaks to him. He's like, I need something. And he's like, you know, Chris can play up front. And the guy's like, okay, yeah. And he went, no, he can. And I went up and scored the winner. We won 1-0. And that was it. I played there ever since.
Oh, that's great. That is awesome story. Yeah, I mean, honestly, when the results aren't coming in, you know, you'll get a little creative when you need to. I remember my freshman year, we just weren't scoring goals. And our coach showed up one day and was like, oh, by the way, we got this guy coming in from the basketball team. I'm like, what? What is happening? So this guy comes in and his touch looks a little off, you know, but he's an athlete and a half. I mean, and he's a basketball player. He can dunk, so he can leap. And it turns out, so his touch is not great, but he's one of the best one-touch finishers I've ever seen in my life. All of a sudden, this guy becomes our leading scorer just like that. And it turns out he was an all-state soccer player during high school, and he played college basketball. And I'm just amazed at that kind of athleticism and talent. And, oh, my gosh. Got to be ridiculously in shape also to be able to go from one hop from one sport to the other.
100%.
My gosh.
100%.
The training level of these college athletes, I'm not sure people fully grasp how elite some of these players are, just as athletes. And oh, geez. Like when I first went to that school, man, those are the best players I've ever played with in my life. And they were my teammates. And I was supposed to be winning playing time from them.
Yeah.
It's such a crazy thing to think about. You coming from England, though, you had already seen great players. So you were walking into a different scenario, right?
I honestly didn't know what to expect, because I'd never seen the team play. A friend got, you know, helped me get there, and I've gone in. I think I missed my first day of practice because I was on the plane flying over. I had little sleep and got up the next morning for the 7 a.m. and I was out there early, just because I was awake, and I got paired up with one of the guys who was, you know, the lower end of the roster, like the lower end, more of a token, like he's on the roster, and I'm stood like kicking about with him, and I'm thinking, what am I doing? And then lucky enough, a few of the boys who could play showed up. We had a couple of Brazilians at the time who they were good to play with, but we got into a lot of arguments with each other. There were, you know, the two different styles of play, but they were good boys to play with. So yeah. It was an eye opener for me, to be honest.
I bet. I mean, that's, you're going to another country to play with in a, yeah, my gosh, in a very different type of environment as well. Yeah. I mean, yeah, geez. All right. So anything else you feel like we need to know about you? Something, anything like that, you know, makes you even more unique? I mean, you know, you're doing great as it is. I just realized I should ask that before we transition into Everton stuff. I felt weird without having a good segue, but yeah.
No, I think we're good. I think All we're right. good. If I think of anything, I'll let you know.
I appreciate it. Just you know, just butt in. It's cool. So really quick thought before we get into match reviews and match previews and all that stuff. This, for the audience out there who are listening and watching, this is being recorded on a Thursday, which means the FA Cup draw was this afternoon. So we now know who we are going to play in the next round of the FA Cup quarterfinals. Of course, our name's the first one that's pulled, and the next one pulled is Manchester City. So we've got City at our place, which is cool. Quick reactions on that one, Chris.
At first, I was all like, I was happy I saw that name come out at home. And then once you put it on back in the bag and pulled that Man City, I'm like, oh, Man City. But my thoughts are like, we're going to have to play that. If you want to get to the final, you're going to be playing Man City at some point, because at the form they're in, they're unstoppable. So I'd rather play them now. And if we do lose, we've not got all that hope of getting to the final and being that close to winning it. But, you know, I feel it's more of an even ground playing at a Goodison for us. It's more of our stadium. Fingers crossed, who knows? Maybe fans might be allowed back in. It'll add a little bit of a difference to it. You never know. I doubt it, but you never know. But yeah, you know what? To win the cup, you have to do it the hard way sometimes. So if that's the case, let's do it.
I mean, I suppose people have won the cup with really fortunate draw after really fortunate draw after really fortunate draw. I suppose that's happened. But I will say, we get past City. And I'm feeling really, really good, because at that point you've played maybe the best, the top form team in England. You know, you played maybe the top four and you put them behind you. And I gotta
be honest though, I'd have feared that more of a Bournemouth at home, because I feel that sometimes when we play, we lower the way we play. So like, if we're playing a top team like City, we're on our game and everyone fights with everything. We play someone like Newcastle the other week. You go and play a Newcastle or you play a Bournemouth. Yeah. And we've done it against, you know, in the previous rounds against Rotherham, and you scrape through or whatnot, you know, but it's not as easy on us. Nothing's ever easy on us.
Yeah. It's weird though. I will say, like, a lot of times we scrape through. I do feel a lot more confident holding on to a 1-0 2-1 lead with Carlo, though. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, even if we were playing one of those, like, if we were to manage to get a lead against him, I'd feel a lot more comfortable than I have in the past. Like, and honestly, with City, man, I got to tell you, and with Carlo in charge, I'm just not as worried playing anyone now, you know? I look at our lack of depth, and we're supposed to be really having a serious issue with depth on our team, and we're managing to find solutions and be okay. I mean, we're going to talk about it in a bit after we talk United, but the Spurs match, we're missing players. Heck, we're missing players against United, you know, and we're finding ways to get results, you know? So
yep.
I'm positive about this draw. I would feel a lot more cocky if it was someone not City. I just say that. So I'm not going to go up to every City fan going, oh, we're going to take you now. You know, I'm not going to do that. But honestly, I'm not going to be surprised if we win that game. I feel good, you know?
Yeah, I agree.
All right. So, anything else on City in the cup coming up?
No, just bring them on. Bring them on.
That's honestly, Toffee Blues John, I think, tweeted that earlier from the Toffee Blues account. And I was like, yes, that's how you have to think right there. You can't sit there and like, nut in the face. You know, you can't do that, you know? No more. Never. All right. Let's move. United over the weekend. That was a thrill ride. I thought Saturday was going to be the thrill ride of the week. I thought that was going to be our biggest adrenaline shot.
Yeah.
And
I don't know if I can say much more.
What are they doing to us? So, you know, I'm not even going to bother to say spoiler alert, because if you haven't watched it by now, but 3-3 draw with United. What a weird match that started with an incredibly dire first half that was just, sad to watch. I died a little inside. And like at halftime, I was like, well, if it's going to keep going like this, I need to plan my afternoon to get my negative energy out. First half was pretty bad. But, you know, so some mistakes made, but I don't want to necessarily start like that. Let's start positive. Chris, we came out second half.
Second half was a complete shock. If you like you said, if you haven't saw it and you see the first half, you never believe that we're getting anything from that game. So it was like, come out second half and we hit them with two goals in, what, 3 or 4 minutes? And you're like, oh, hang on. Like, yeah. Everton have come to play finally. And, you know, we had a go. And like you said, the goals that we conceded, Olsen slips. Like, it happened. You know, it happens. He makes a mistake, it's a goal. If we're not going to save Yerimina slip because he did that anyway. But if someone else slips, there's a chance the keeper can save it, you know.
Yeah.
But going back onto that, I don't think there was a foul in the build-up myself. I think it was poor referee, and I don't think Holgate fouled to allow the free kick to come in. But again, Everton, it's which Everton shows up when, where, what half. Are they going to do it in the middle of a game, at the end of a game? Who knows when?
The difference in mentality was pretty staggering. You know, when I look at their first half goals, right, I thought we looked so like we were packing back and we weren't pressing at all. Like, I mean, Bruno Fernandes' goal is a perfect example. He takes a second, he wants to pass, looks around, realizes he's got space and can place a ball perfectly in the corner just because he's just got all the time in the world. And I know, and we're talking, Tom Davis was probably the closest man, and he's a player who had a pretty good game. You know, not going to sit there and like totally rail on Tom Davies for it, but you wonder, like, somebody's got to be. I mean, he's one of the best like outside the 18 finishers, Bruno Fernandes. He's really good. You can't give him that big a look.
The thing is, like, if you look at that goal again, though, I know, like, I agree, Davies should get out to him, but there's also Dinya's gone out on the left. And there's a player just in there. So if he does go and press him, he just slips that ball in anyway. Yeah. It might be a different outcome. You don't know. But
it's a tough one,
you know, because he doesn't know, do a go press him, do a slide over, do, you know, what do we do? And it's, unfortunately, like you said, you've got Bruno Fernandes, who seems to have a hand in anything that United score and can put it where he wants, puts it into the top corner.
That's the thing. If you were a neutral watching the highlights of their first two goals, you would probably say that United team is special, because the first goal, the cross by Rashford and the header by Cavani, I mean, it was just really pretty play. And it felt, you know, and it's just slightly over Keane's head. Keane has like one more like bit of hair, you know what I mean? Just it's just like that much. And that flicks over Cavani's head. It's just, but he just can't quite make it. It was, but it looked, if you were a neutral, you would say, oh, that's pretty soccer. But the whole time I'm sitting there thinking, gosh, we are not helpless. We're not helpless to their beautiful football. That's ridiculous. You know, we could be doing, and for me, it was a mentality thing. it was a cover, you know, let's get out there to actually put some pressure on them. I don't know, man. It was a frustrating first half.
I'd love to be a fly on the wall to what was said at halftime. Like,
yes,
I would love to, like, just put me in a corner so I can just sit and, like, who went flying off the handle? Did Big Dunk go in there all guns steaming? Did Carlo just act as cool as he can be? You know, what went on? Like, what got said?
It's hard for me to imagine that Dunk said nothing. I just can't see it. Yeah, that was one of those, you know, and to be honest, I know the first half was dire and depressing and frustrating, but when you see that your team has the potential and ability to change and to kick it up a gear, it sort of makes you feel like you're in every game, even if you've got a lead to overcome. You know, there's part of you was like, why aren't you doing it from the beginning? But if it's a team mentality issue, something's going on, some, you know, whatever, you make some slight changes at halftime. I love the idea that a team can rally around itself and work together and go, no, not dealing with this anymore. That's good vibes, man. That's good feeling.
Yeah, it's a whole new mentality we've got this year, because, you know, at 2-0 down at halftime at United, you're looking at it and you're thinking this is going to be 5 or 6. Yeah. Regardless of if you're playing well or they're playing well, you're like, United over the years have taken teams apart. That's good. Look at Southampton. They took Southampton apart a week ago, 9-0. And you're like, they could do it to anyone on the day when they want. Yeah. And you're like, where are you for the taking here? And then we come out with that whole new mentality that we've seen to develop over the season, but over the last few weeks more so. Mm-hmm. You know, that fight, that desire, and we're getting results from it now.
Yeah. So let's go to Olsen. See, I've written down these topics, some of them just negative, some of them positive. Olsen is dancing the line here, in, you know what I mean? Because you slip. You don't like blaming somebody for slipping, right? Mm-hmm. It's unfortunate. It's the pitch. It's the universe saying, screw you. It happens, right? But at the same time, every keeper ends up getting judged by little stuff like that. You know 100%. What I mean? And that sucks, but that's just the way it is. So I saw on Olsen some amazing play, but not all the way, am I saying, perfect game from Olsen. You know what I mean?
I think he needs that little run in the team. I think he brings a lot more calmness to the back line than what Pickford does.
I have to agree.
Pickford first came in, it was like, great. And then you're like, Pickford's distribution. Pickford this, and then, but you look at Olsen, and when Olsen clears it, when he connects properly, he's putting it on the edge of that area. There's like a sense of calm back there. You know, he's a big guy, he's a big figure. I don't know what it is. It's just, for me, it's a little bit more calming with him there, because Pickford's in that limelight of England's number one. Everyone's waiting for him to fail. You know, one mistake and the whole media, like, ever since I hate to say it, I don't even want to mention the tackle. But ever since that, it's highlighted on everything. I'll probably have a counter on Twitter now. Day 190, Chris said this. you know, but it's ever since that, everyone's been out for him.
Yeah.
So a little break's good.
You said the key word that I don't know if a lot of people have said it. Calm. And that is what I think Pickford is kind of missing now. I mean, even when he first got to the club, I think we were praising his distribution. Like, it was, I mean, just heck of a left foot. Could just put it, pinpoint accuracy on someone's, you know, right in stride to someone streaking down the field. But I don't see that as much this season. And I think it's up here. He's not calm. He doesn't feel calm. And I feel like there's some things. I think it helps. I think it's actually helping him to have a backup there, pushing him, you know, forcing him to focus on the things that are important. But I just feel like he's pretty nervous right now.
Yeah, like you said, a lot of the times now he's them kicks he was playing and he's hitting the right winger, the left winger, he's putting out. And then if you look at if you compare the two after they can see the goal, Pickford's body language is just distraught. Like, you know, he's pulling his top, he's shouting, he's doing something. Olsen's more like in shock that he conceded a goal.
Yeah.
You know, so he's like, but he knows he's let one in, but it's like the two different styles. And Pickford now, I think he needs that little break out the limelight, out the starting lineup, you know, whatever injury he's got, hopefully he comes back. But I'd give Olsen that little run because the team seems to be settling down a little bit with him in goal.
Pickford seems like he needs to throw. When he concedes, it's like he has to react. He has to give like a little bit of personality. He always has to do it, whether it's something as simple as sticking his tongue out and going, or something like that. Yeah. Just something simple. He feels like he has to give a reaction. And you're right, Olsen is much more clean slate, just blank. You know, interesting. Yeah, definitely. So Olsen has definitely saved us a decent amount lately. But you got to say, you hate seeing the slip. Giving them the third one.
Yeah.
Because he normally would have that. He would have had that. Talking about a big guy, long arms, he'd have had it. Yeah. So before we go on to talk about your man of the match, anybody where you pinpoint him where you were kind of like, you know what, this person feel like they could have done better?
Holgate for me. Holgate, I feel he's another one who's like in the last few weeks. His standards have kind of slipped a little bit, and he's not performing at the level he was at the beginning of the season.
I gotta agree.
If you look at the first few balls in the United, I think it was the United game. Yeah, the United game. He was giving them away. His touch was going out, and like we've got the Connecticut Toffees group text going, and I've got a group text with a few Blues back home, and you know we're talking about how much that got, like how much Olsen had, Holgate had just dropped on the radar. Like he's just not the same player he was at the beginning of the season.
You know, continuing, I think Carlo does a really good job of squad rotation. And that little break can sometimes be what you need to get hungry again. And we'll get later to Spurs to talk about Coleman because he had a little stretch out for a while.
Yeah.
And and sometimes that you just need to get that hunger back. Obviously just straight up desire doesn't help, but it is not exactly all of it. But honestly, sometimes it's just to focus on the details because you get carried away in the big picture stuff. And sometimes you need to focus on every touch, that next touch being the most important touch. So yeah, I could easily see a young guy like Holgate getting, a little bit carried away, not really focusing on everything because we've seen him do it in the past. Before too, but I do think he's matured a lot, and I think just a little spell out was all he needs, you know.
Yeah.
So, who's your man of the match?
I'm gonna go with Andre Gomes.
Good choice.
I thought he had a great game. Like I thought he had again, he's another one. Him, Davis, you know, and Sigurdsson had him for a lot of like stick on Twitter off the different supporters around the world, but. People don't analyze what he does. You know, like Gomez's job, like people see him as this attacking Kevin De Bruyne style, spraying passes, hitting this, hitting that. And when I coach kids, I use the simple phrase, kiss, keep it simple, stupid. And Gomez does that. He wins the ball. He knows he's not blessed for pace. He plays it off. He'll get it back. He'll move it. And he just like pulls the strings around that midfield.
Yep. Yeah. I think everybody's been wanting him to hit that uptick in form, you know, since his injury, really, since he came back from his injury. I think a lot of us for a while were just kind of like, he's not fit yet. He feels pressured to play. He really shouldn't be right now. It was so great. So great watching him look so strong in the middle. You know,
against a strong United midfield as well, you know, obviously Pogba went off and you got Fernandes in there, but like he more than held his own and, you know, took control second half and he was picking out players. And Davis again, Tom Davis, you know, was big in that holding midfield role. Huge, huge, like, position for him.
Yeah. And again, Davis, not doing everything, like, completely perfect, but have you – is it me or does it feel like his passes, like, breaking the lines are a lot more well-chosen now? Like, he's being a lot more careful, and he's not giving the ball away nearly as cheaply as he did before. You know, he would see someone streaking, and when he put it, it would be, like, just a step off, and it would get intercepted and would come back the other way. That was such a common thing for Davis because you were like, oh, what a good thought. What a good idea. But he's a Premier League player. He should be able to, you know.
He's split, that,
yes.
He's matured a little bit, and obviously Ancelotti's bringing that out to him and the backroom staff. But a few years ago, if you looked at him, when he burst on the scene, great young academy player coming through, everyone's thrilled. And then he started playing a lot of sideways passes, which, you know, the fans are not liking. I think playing in the empty stadiums is helping Tom Davis as a player grow, because as soon as he misplaces a pass, he's not earning 40,000 blues. Go, oh, what is he doing? Like, you know, booing him, screaming at him. Yep. Now it's just like, all right, Tom, get the next one. Play it off somewhere else.
That is such a legitimate point, Chris, that I don't think a lot of people are paying attention to. The effect of playing in empty stadiums having a positive impact on players that maybe have a lot of pressure on them, you know, especially young ones.
It's doing Tom Davis wonders. You know, there's other players who can benefit from it, getting a little bit of a run, you know, confident in a competitive game, you know.
Yeah,
I do think there's a lot to be said for that.
That's such a good point. So, any other closing thoughts on the 3-3 draw with United?
Just happy Calvert-Lewin bags again, because he missed that chance at the end of the first half, and you're like, and he missed one at Leeds, similar one-on-one, you know, but then he pops up where's needed with a great touch and a great finish.
Was that your favorite of the three goals because of the timing?
Because of the timer, but I thought you can't take nothing away from James' goal.
That's the one.
Finish. I don't think people understand the difficult, like how difficult it was. Decore's fired it in at your chair, at your waist. He's brought it down and hit it in, you know, in a phone box, really.
And put it, put it completely in the right corner. He kept it low and controlled, and with pace. It's just, oh, it was absurd.
I'm not gonna lie. I was calling for him to be subbed off because I didn't think he was up to it at that point. And then he goes and puts one in the bottom corner. I'm like, all right, you know more than me. I'll let you off.
Yeah, my family, I was watching it. See, I've got two young boys, a 5 and an 8-year-old. And my wife was, all of us were in the house. And my kids were screaming at the television when we were scoring those goals. It was, they were so loud. But the last one, I am certain neighbors got worried about my family because my ears were ringing, you know, good reason, right? But are you kidding? Yeah. But that one, it was just, it's just a good feeling, man, to have something go your team's way at the death like that.
It's almost like a win. It felt like
it really
a win,
is.
You know, because, you know, you've dragged it from nothing. Like I said, United away, you're getting a 3-3 draw. You're taking it.
Mm-hmm. I mean, and that's against the United team who's beat us twice this season.
Yeah.
You know? And we were down 2-0. And then we were down 3-2. You know? And that's coming back like that. And then coming back again at the very end, showing character like that. Yeah, it feels like a win. So people can knock me for celebrating a draw all they want. It is a point. Every point is important. Sorry, European football is important. So, yeah, every single point and positive vibes are good, you know?
It's keeping that away run going as well, which now is a thing in the back of our minds that it's like, oh, we got to, you know, we've not lost now in a while away from home. You almost want to play your games away.
After earlier we were talking about our advantage of being able to play at home. we'll twist it how we need to, Chris, is what we'll do. All right, so good point away at United. Let's move on. Well, that's a bad throw. There we go. All right. Then in the cup. And you thought the 3-3 game was going to be the big one, the crazy one, the one that gave you the heart trouble. No, no. I will give a spoiler alert because this one was actually yesterday. Some people may be watching on demand, recording it. So I'm letting you know now. Don't listen. Yeah, what the hell? Was it 5-4 for Christ's sake?
Yeah.
Is that what it was?
Where do you start? Like, where do you start on that one? It's like,
no, I was saying the score, Chris, and I didn't believe that it was that ridiculous. It's only been yesterday, you know? Oh my God. Just, you know, we start off really, you know, not in a, we start off weak again. And in sort of something that would become a trend with set play defense, which we'll have to talk about here in a minute. So giving up that early goal, but then recovering really quickly. And you're talking about your Connecticut Toffees group. We have a Toffee Blues Twitter message group. And it was, everybody was so down talking about how crap we are, blah, blah, blah. And then all of a sudden, oh my God, we look so good. What's happening? It was fantastic when we got those, two in a row, really fast.
Well, three. We got the third
The third was like, was that one? Oh, yeah, because that was right before halftime, right?
Yeah. I ended up putting all my groups on mute yesterday for that game, but after the first one went in, I thought, I just don't. We've got the big group of the North American supporters clubs. I've got the Connecticut Toffees. And like I said, I've got the one back home with people. Yeah. I literally just had my phone mute down, muted all the chats, just left it. And I'm like, let me just suffer on my own here. Let me just suffer.
I was at work and my old phone was here, but on, right? So it's still connected to Wi-Fi. So Courtney was like, I knew the game was crazy because your phone wouldn't stop buzzing. It was absurd. And so she turned the game on and watched it. And I had to watch it like after the fact, sadly, because work. But so let's talk about, let's see here. Where do you want to start? You want to talk, Do you want to talk about set play defense? Let's go there first. Just get the bat out of the way.
Let's get out of the way. I was fuming at Sigurdsson for the way he's defending corners. Like, don't get why. Face the ball.
Yeah.
Face it. Like, he's trying to block off Sanchez, who's a big lad, and you're facing him, but the ball's coming from behind you, so you're not seeing it. But if you look at Sanchez's second goal, which I only noticed, like, as every Blue, you watch every time it's on now just to watch it again, if we win. But as the corner come in, Dina's doing the same with whoever flicked it on, I think it was it. Vertonghen. He's gone, right? Alderweireld. Whoever flicked it on.
I think it was Alderweireld. I think you're right.
Dina's doing the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
Facing him as opposed to facing the ball. I just don't think this zonal marking that we're trying to do, it's not doing us any favours. Yesterday more so than that, like, we conceded that one, we conceded one against Newcastle that way, you know, the free kick into the box for some reason on free kicks deep into the box, like the United one, we're dropping so deep, like right on the keeper's toes, we're not giving them the space, you know, to get out, you know, to have a little line to give the keeper the space to get off his line. But yesterday was, anytime they got a corner I was hiding, you got your head in your hands and you're thinking, what's going to happen?
Yeah. And it actually, and at the end of the game, I think we were all. So it's just something I didn't expect as much, to see us giving up repeated goals on set pieces like that. I felt like, for the most part, it's one of those things Carlo had, when he came in, his group had shored a lot of that up. So I've been a little surprised with that kind of rearing its head again. Just because the defensive details are usually worked out. It was surprising to me. I was not expecting us to be that leaky on set plays.
It was particularly bad yesterday. Particularly bad. Even like Olsen's punches were not getting out. We're not getting the clearance when he did come to it. Like that one just before, was it Kane's goal? He punches it out and Lamella smashes it back, and only the Decore takes one in the face. It still swings around. You just, I don't know. It's a little bit frightening if we're going to keep going that way. I'm sure they're going to address that this week, though.
They've got to. Yeah. I mean, I hate to say this kind of thing because I liked the guy. He was a very nice manager. But Roberto Martinez, we're not dealing with Roberto Martinez who doesn't practice those in training. I could easily see that being a serious point of emphasis moving forward. That, it for me, was the most negative thing for the whole match, the whole thing.
Yep.
So who do you feel like looked good? Who had a good game yesterday for you?
Obviously, Tom Davis stands out as
the
head one. But I thought Richarlison worked hard.
Yep.
You know, he's been in for a lot of stick again lately, but he took his two goals exceptionally well. And when he went off as a forward, like on his own, when Calvert-Lewin went off, he ran the line well. He worked hard. You know, he always looks like he's in a mood, but he just plays. He plays with passion and he wants to win, which is a good thing. Coleman, when he came on, changed the game because you're bringing Coleman on at that point for him and you're thinking, we're going to shut up shop here. We're going five at the back. We're not letting anyone through. But every time Coleman got it, he was on the front foot. He was going at them, cutting inside, going outside, trying to make things happen. So, you know, there was a few players yesterday who were like, yeah, that's the players we know.
Coleman looked hungry to play.
Yeah.
You know?
I think he wants silverware. He wants a trophy. He wants it.
Yeah. I would throw Decore in that list just because, I mean, that's like an every game thing, though.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Corey's like, yeah, he's every game. It's you don't need to mention him because you know he's done well.
it's like, of course, DeCorey played well. Are you kidding me? Yeah, he's just everywhere. He's omnipresent. I remember when we signed him. I told my 8-year-old. I was like, you know what, that guy right there. You need to watch his work rate. You need to watch him. Watch how hard he works. Both ways. Could be going that way, could be going that way. He will track people back on defense. He is going to be a part of the attack. I was like, you need to watch that guy. And I'm glad I haven't been proven wrong with that one.
He's been a good signing.
So we mentioned Sigurdsson earlier. What a weird game from a guy who defends like that on set pieces and then gets the assists that he gets, you know, because one in particular, one of those assists where I was like, that's really nice. It was just, you know, I don't know what to make of him.
He was another player I was calling, like Rodriguez last game. I'm like, you need to do something. You need to take him off. Like, what's he doing? Like, he's not helping us. He's costing us goals. But then he goes up the other end and he becomes the Sigurdsson that everyone wanted him to be. To be honest, I don't think he's ever shown that sort of creativity in an Everton shirt until last night. Don't get me wrong, he scored a few screamers, which everyone knew he's capable of, but that little ball for Bernard at the end, like as you saw James Rodriguez do it earlier in the season against someone, and everyone's like, oh wow, you know, but then Sigurdsson goes and doesn't, you're like, you can actually do that? Like, how do you do that? And he finally showed up to be a part of the forward line last night.
Yeah. Dare I say he looked like he was enjoying himself when he does that kind of stuff. You know what I mean? Like it's almost like he's like having fun playing. When I see players throwing those little flicks in there, it's like they're there to truly care about the game instead of, oh, I'm at work now. You know, it's like, hey, I'm working hard, but this is fun. I grew up playing this, you know?
there's that one before, the one before he feeds it into Calvert-Lewin for the penalty. It comes, just drops out of the sky, and he just kills it dead. Yep. It comes over the shoulder, and he just brings it down and then just rolls it into the path. And, you know, their touches over the years, people have looked at players and gone, like, world-class player who does that, pulls it down out the air. And then there's Sigurdsson, who everyone would be like, nah, you're good, mate. You're good. That was lovely.
I keep wondering, he's not having perfect games necessarily. That wasn't a perfect performance from him, but it's another one where I put Sigurdsson on the list of players that are improving under Carlo and kind of finding themselves again.
And Carlo seems to like him.
Yeah, he does.
He obviously gave him the responsibility of captain, you know. Mm-hmm. He had the faith in him.
Yeah.
You know, I know we see it from a different point of view and you don't see what goes on in training all the time, but he seems to have that faith. And if he can play like that, then, you know, he can be an asset to us. But it's almost like, what Sigurdsson's going to show up? Is it going to be the Sigurdsson that stands there and points at everyone run past him? Or is it the Sigurdsson that's going to spray passes around? So we'll see.
So this one was a very wild one as well. And we need to make sure we mention Bernard.
Yep.
Didn't see that coming.
He wasn't even meant to be there. He was meant to be in Qatar.
No. Yeah.
That deal fell through and now he's back on the bench for us, you know, and the goal, again, the goals we scored last night, I know Mourinho came out and said, like, defensive mistakes. Yeah, on our part. On your part, we scored 3 or 4 unbelievable goals.
Yeah, that's the thing. I was looking at Richarlison's, and I don't think I thought Richarlison was going to score either one of those. I didn't think either one was going in. And not even just because it's his run of form, but they were not the easiest angles. No, they're not the easiest moments.
The first one's gone, you know, he's got to play it in front of him.
Mm-hmm.
He's got to play it, you know, square them up, and he's put it through his legs and in the bottom corner. And as you said, the second one, the angle's like impossible.
So hard.
Impossible angle.
Yeah.
But,
yeah, that's – but Bernard's – was another, gosh, was that left-footed? I'm trying to remember, like, he hit it, like, with pace.
Yeah, yeah.
He blasted it. It was really, really nice. And honestly, if he's going to be with us, I want him getting time. I love him having moments like that. You know, that's awesome. You know, I still maintain he does provide something different for us than everyone else.
He's just another who's like a little bit inconsistent with it. I know we expect if he's coming on for 20 minutes, we expect his 20 minutes to be of the highest quality. But, you know, he just never seems to get going. And you're thinking, like the West Ham goal he scored last season, where he scored from a tight end, you're like, that's what he needed. That's that goal. And then you're thinking the same about last night. Now you're like, that's that goal. That's the goal that's going to kickstart him now to be 25 minutes and a Wobie's coming off a bit earlier, or one of them is starting, the other one's on the bench. You know, you pray for him to come on and be the player that, you know, we've seen in the Champions League when he's playing for Shakhtar. You want him to be that player.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's weird though, because he, as an impact sub, he usually, it's weird for him to come on as an impact sub, you know, because I don't know, he does give you something different. But it's usually it's not necessarily – that's not necessarily what you always want off the bench is what he provides. And he is – when you're saying inconsistent, he's usually not giving the team the goal you need. He's not always playing that cross, that giving that pass that's going to get us the goal we need. You know, we want – when we're bringing people off the bench, we want impact. That's the reason they're coming off – or they're coming on is because we want that impact. And I feel like Bernard's a guy who – needs to be starting. You know, he wants to start, he wants to play the bulk of the game, and he wants to be able to kind of use his guile to kind of make a mark. And I know he's not happy doing it, but I also don't think he's at his best when he's coming
on. I think you might see him on a Sunday. I think he might start Sunday just for a little bit of rotation.
I think that sounds that makes a lot of sense to me, man.
Fulham's a team, again, not to be underestimated, because they can play some good stuff when they want.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a team where you can be like, you know what, Bernard, go do a job. Go get your confidence, get your playing. Off you go.
Yeah. Anything else you want to hit on this FA Cup win?
It's just, again, the mentality. Because when I looked at the starting lineup and you look at Spurs lineup, you're like, this is a tougher game than I thought it was going to be. And then they scored in the first few minutes and you're like, oh, like,
yep.
What's going to happen? And then we score, and you're like, amazing. Like, this is the new Everton. And then we concede again and you're like, oh, hang on. And then we concede again. And it's just the whole, every time we concede, I never saw us winning just because of past years of being Everton. Mm-hmm. Like, you never saw us seeing that game out and then, or having that mentality. And you're looking and you're missing players and Calvert-Lewin's gone off and you're thinking, what have we got? And then all of a sudden, the boys step up another level and you're like, hang on, there's that mentality we saw against United again.
Yep.
Just never say die, let's just keep going. And it's a good thing to see at the minute for us, it really is.
Yeah, that second period of extra time. Yeah, I think that was definitely a stay together cheeks kind of moment. That was tough. If I didn't have heart trouble before, I certainly do now. That was, oh my God. And I think if you were to poll 10 Evertonians saying, do you think we're going to get scored on in this second extra time? I really do think all 10 would have said yes. I really 100%. Think that.
100%. Yes. I thought that our penalties or them sneaking it 6-5. That's the way I thought that was going to go. Especially, I watched it on BT Sport. So it was like the English commentators, and they did it with West Ham the other week. They were crying out for Antonio then to come on. And last night, they were crying out for Kane.
Yep.
Like, when Kane was taking off his warm-ups to come on, they had a picture-in-picture just showing Harry Kane getting dressed. And I'm like, they just want him to score.
Yeah.
Like, they want them to come on and be the player.
Mm-hmm.
Like, so, and then that builds into yourself where you're doubting yourself. Then you're like, oh, hang on, they're bringing Harry Kane on. Where do we go from here? Well, we're bringing Coleman and Bernard on, and you're like, we've got two keepers on the bench. Can one of them go up front? It's worked for me. Can it work for them? I don't know.
Yeah. But see, it's performing in moments like that, right? It's performing in moments like that, proving that you've done it, proving that you can do it again. You know what I mean? The more you get used to that, the more you develop that, but you learn the behavior, you learn what it takes, your mentality, it just starts locking down every time. You're not going to get all of them, but the more you get, the more it just becomes more routine. And you know what? And then it's going to become a little more routine for us as supporters.
Yeah. It's a big game mentality. You know, it's being the player when you need to be the player, which, again, United built upon Fergie time for years. They never say die right until the end, and they turn things around. And, you know, I'm not comparing us to that team by any stretch of the imagination, but we're getting a mentality about ourselves. We're getting that we can fight for each other, and the players that you want to step up are now stepping up and saying, give me the ball. I want to do this.
Yeah. All right. So, just really good energy after those two matches. Just going to say that out loud. Just have to. We good on the Spurs match?
I think we covered it. I think we did a good job on that.
Thorough. All right, moving on. This weekend, we've got Fulham. Right now, Fulham just to blab out a bunch of stuff. Fulham currently 18th in the table with 15 points, 2-9-11. Their previous three matches was a 0-0 draw with West Ham, 2-0 loss to Leicester, 2-2 draw with West Brom. They're not to sit there and sound like a total idiot, they are consistently inconsistent. You can rely on them to give you what you don't expect. It feels like every single match. Yeah.
I'm thinking 3-0 them, Luke Menatrick. That's the Everton that could show up. You just don't know. That's how it could go. But you just, it's just them type of stories. Not scored, not won. Come play Everton. They'll give you something. They'll get, and that's, we talk about mentality, and that's the mentality of Everton fans. The players might have a different one on the field, but our mentality is Newcastle not winning all these games, come players. Fulham not winning, you know, not playing the best, they'll get a nice win. Former Blue comes back, who we kind of shunned, and, you know, he didn't quite settle with us after promise, and he comes on and shows us what he can do.
That's one of those things where I learned to think like that. You know what I mean? Like, oh, so-and-so has had a scoreless streak for so however many months. And they're like, okay, time for Everton. You know what I mean? That, you know, and we actually have two former Everton players that'll probably be starting with Anthony Robinson and Mola Luqman. You know, Robinson, who I think, if he thought he was going to have more of a chance to start, I think he probably would have come back. But I think he saw an opportunity to start in the Premier League and play almost every match. So I get
He's playing well as well.
Yes,
he's playing. He's playing very well for them. I think if they go down, he's a player that clubs will look at, you know, not necessarily top end clubs. You know, I'm not saying he's going to go and play Champions League, but, you know, some clubs will look at a Newcastle. They'll look at it, you know. They seem to buy players like that. You know, the mid-table clubs. A class is no longer as a mid-table club at the minute, but, you know, then the mid-table clubs and the lower end and the newly promoted, you know, they'll spend 10, 15 million on them, and they'll get a solid player who's Premier League experience and still young.
He's absolutely earned it. Coming back from injury issues and dealing with the failed move to Milan, which was shocking. When that came out, I was like, I had to like rub my eyes. But like, is that happening? That's crazy. I'm excited for him.
Wigan.
That's cool.
Wigan,
you know. they're a weird young team. You know what I mean? And I think part of that inconsistency stems from their youth. There's a lot of young players. Like, just grabbed Josh Maggia. From, you know, France, who originally he was from Sunderland, right?
Yeah, he was on the Sunderland Till I Die documentary, if I remember rightly.
Yep, and his transfer was documented on there. Another a good young striker who I think will probably get some time against us this weekend. They're just such a, you know, and Loftus-Cheek is another exciting young player who was rumored to be coming to us like 5 times, I feel like, you know, on loan, and never actually happened. Just a bunch of exciting young players, but I think a lot of them are kind of learning on the job.
Sometimes that's the best way, just being thrown into it. You know, you get that experience of we don't have a lot. There you go, you're the kids. Off you go, play with no fear.
Yep, I think that Tosin Adarabayo. Adarabioyo. I think that's how to say it. Adarabioyo.
Rather you than me trying to pronounce that.
You know, I practiced it before we started, and I screwed it up immediately. It was like, good thing you practiced it, Jerry. Damn it. So, but another good young player who was rumored to come to us a few years ago, and he ended up, I think, signing a new contract with City. But, another good young player. They're just full of some really good, talented players. But they're in 18th, and they're going to have to pull off something very special to not get relegated this season.
Yeah.
How are you thinking we line up?
I don't think the back line. I think maybe Coleman comes in. Maybe Dina gets a little break. Because I know he went off yesterday, but there was no talk of, like, what happened? Is he injured? Is he tired? You know, he's played a lot since he come back. I think Alan might come in and get some minutes.
Yes.
Which would be a big plus. Yeah. Gomez, you still got Gomez. No one knows what happened to him midweek. James could be around. You know, there's players. If you, like I said, you look at last night's team. There's players who've been playing regular for us and didn't play. I think Calvert-Lewin, now we've brought Josh King in, Calvert-Lewin could have a break, but Richarlison can also lead the line, you know, and he proved it last night against good quality defenders. So again, goes and plays against them, and, you know, Calvert-Lewin sits on the bench, and do we need him? If he's fit, come on. If not, rest the hamstring. We got City, we got Liverpool after that. You know, there's players that are playing, and, you know, they get the chance. I think Bernard starts, and, you know, a couple maybe get the chance to have that little break they need, but they're on the bench should we need them.
Do you think we'll go more? I mean, to be honest with you, though, our depth is experienced in the back. So I was going to say, do you feel like we'll go experienced in the back and then experiment a little bit more forward? But, you know, I could easily see Coleman and then either Yerry Mina and Michael Keane, and then Godfrey playing on the left again to kind of shore it up and kind of make it very solid. I could see that coming, that starting like that. Do you feel like with DCL coming off like he did, you feel like this is a Josh King starting for the first time for us possibility?
Yeah, I don't think he'll start as a forward, though. I think he'll start maybe on a right. Richarlison down the middle on his own. King out on the right. You know, it will be out. I think Bernard will be on the other left. Maybe James will come in place of, like, a Sigurdsson, because he's played a lot of minutes. And then I think he'll stick with Decore and Davis. So, it's, you know, there's the three. I think he'll stick with them two behind, because James basically has a free roll when he goes in there. If you watch him when he plays on the right, he drifts anyway, and we leave a big gap.
He goes
so put him in behind. Just let him float. You've got Decore, he'll cover the ground for you. And you've got Davis, who'll sit in and do the donkey work for you.
Yeah.
And then if Alan's fit enough, I think he'll get, you know, 20, 30 minutes towards the end, or whether he starts him for 60 minutes and gets him out of there.
Yeah, I'll be curious if we who we rest, who we're willing to rest, I guess is the question. Like, I always get nervous about, like, not resting players, but at the same time, I get nervous about overlooking opponents. And even a Fulham squad that's sitting in 18th can end up catching us unaware, especially just with never knowing which Everton's going to show up. I do like the idea of Iwobi coming back in the lineup. Because for a little while there, he was looking really strong, really fun to watch. He does a job for us that not everybody can do, you know, finding the cracks in the defense on the dribble. He's not everybody can do that, and it's awesome to have that option. And I love the fact that he's getting confidence too, like you were saying earlier about a lot of these players. Yeah,
I think it's his final ball that left him down a lot. That was a Iwobi. Is he can do all that, and he can do this, but then when it comes to producing the final cross, it's over his, it's the keeper, it's out, you know, and that's, I think that's what's the biggest frustration for Everton fans, because we can see he does everything else.
Yeah.
But it's where we need you the most is whipping that ball in the box.
And that's sort of the problem, because he's a 10 that plays on the wing. You know what I mean? So he plays best when he cuts in, when he's cutting into the middle. And if he can't cut in, if he has to go outside, that's when those final balls, the ones you're talking about, are usually hitting the keeper, going out of bounds, hitting first defender. That is a consistent thing that we see from him often. It's the weakest part of him playing in that role, you know, every time. I feel more confident about him taking, you know, finding the goal and finding a corner of the goal than I do for him actually finding across another player on the end of the cross. I feel better about him scoring than I do about him assisting off a cross.
Agreed.
Interesting. It'd be a fun lineup to watch what you're describing. And I'm wondering if Gomez, trying to make sure, like right now I'm like, I don't know how to say it anymore.
I say Gomez, like you were Bruno Fernandes, and the commentators are like Fernandes, and you're like, what? No, it's Fernandes. Fernandes.
I think because they're Portuguese, the S is supposed to be sh at the end, but I've heard Gomez being Gomes, I've heard, and you know what? I just want a person who speaks Portuguese to say, Jerry, this is how it works, man. That's all I want. Or maybe I learn Portuguese and I figure it out on my own. Maybe that's the way, Chris.
That's the challenge. That's the challenge. See if we got a Portuguese supporters club, get them on. Have a whole conversation in Portuguese.
I'm wondering, we got like some Brazilian, you know, Evertonian supporters. So maybe they could help us out on this.
Yeah.
You know, they speak Portuguese. Don't know if their pronunciation is going to be exactly the same though. So that's, I like your lineup. I think it makes a lot of sense to me. Prediction.
Not as exciting as our last few games, I don't think. I think it's going to be a 2 or a 3-1, you know, home win for us. I don't think it's going to be as exciting. I don't think it's going to be as easy as we think it's going to be. But I think we've proved in the last few games we can score goals from different players. I think I had a stat that it's 10 different scorers this year or something already.
Yeah.
You know, we've got players who can score goals from positions. So, and they're not tapping, you know, they're from crosses, range, penalties, or, you know, varying goals. So
it's not all the same position. You're right. Yeah, that's, see, I love the fact that we're diverse and flexible when it comes to our opportunities. For a while there, I feel like all Everton goals were dribble down, cross, header, that's it. And I felt like that was all we were getting, or set plays from just outside the box. You know what I mean? Like Luka Dean, left foot. That's what I felt like we were I feel like that's all we were doing. It's nice to see a variety, to feel like we can attack teams a lot of ways.
We need to score a free kick. A direct free kick on the edge of the box is what we need to score. We haven't scored one of them for a while.
When's the last time? It's been too long. You know who hasn't scored like any of those? And that's used to be like his thing? Sigurdsson. Can we not get Sigurdsson to just curl one of those, please?
Some of his set pieces are like horrendous, though, when it comes to it. His corners are like...
No. It's nowhere close to beating the first man. It's nowhere close.
That's where you hope, like, Dina popped up out of nowhere being able to strike a free kick. And then, like, James Rodriguez, you'd like to think he can put it wherever he wants.
He's the first one, if you're looking at our whole lineup, a neutral would look at our squad and say, oh, James, come on. He's the one. He does that. So that would be nice. But I will tell you, I am a little bit more pessimistic, but I'm still picking a win. I'm picking a 1-0 win. I agree with you. I think it's going to be tougher than we expect. I feel like we struggled with them last time we played them.
Yeah, we did. We went up early, right? What was it? We went 2 or 3 up in the first half, and then second half, they came at us, and it was the Everton of we only play half a game, and we sat back, and we don't know, you know, what was it 3-2 in the end or 4-2 in the end? I can't remember now, but it wasn't as easy as the first half predicted.
Yeah, I know. For a little while there, we're like, okay, we can cruise. And that's like the worst thing to think. Never think that.
Never just cruise. We can never just cruise.
Never. Okay. But we're both picking wins. We're both picking tough wins. Mine just slightly score-wise, a little tougher. But neither one of us underestimating this particular situation. All right. So, moving on, going to do a quick look at City. That one's, you know, it's during the week. It's not the next game. I hesitate to get, like, super specific about our predicted lineups because a lot can happen between now and then. People can, you know, there may be injuries. People may be actually getting healthy. We really don't know. However, we're mentioning it because, you know, we're playing there. You know, top in the league right now. They're first in the league. They've only lost 2 matches this season. They're 15-5-2. Previous 3 matches, they beat Swansea 3-1 in the cup. Swansea is a team that really no one wants to play right now. They're playing like decent football right now.
Yeah.
And before that, I will say I give City a big hug. They had a nice win over Self Awareness FC. again, my family very happy on that one. Cheering hard.
A lot of people very happy on that one. A lot of not just Blues. A lot of people very happy.
Humans with hearts. yeah, so that was a nice one. And before that, a 2-0 win over Burnley. Think about City this season. They're doing all this, and De Bruyne is, like, not even playing.
Yeah, they got no forward.
Now they have the weirdest, like, hardly, you know, Aguero's not playing much. He's injured. A lot of injuries. Yeah, so it's just a weird I want to just go ahead and say this. Someone tweeted out a brilliant statistical, you know, analysis, not a statistical analysis, but a formational analysis showing the difference in City's results when they switch to three in the back in possession. I don't remember who it was. If it's your material, it's brilliant. Okay. It was the observation is because for some reason when they were four at the back in possession, they weren't as effective results wise. And then you could actually like pinpoint how when they were their performances being stronger, just which is really not a surprise from like a tactical mind like Pep, but yeah, I feel like they have so much money, they have so many good players just sitting on the bench. I mean, Phil Foden was a kid. He's a kid unreal. Yesterday, and he's so legit now. He was already such a good kid, but now he's just like, holy hell, he is amazing now.
That performance at the weekend, and even his goal at the weekend, like, he's, for me, as an England supporter, he's got to be one of the first on the plane to the Euros. Got to be. Like, just, it's that thing we spoke about with Fulham, with the kid. There's no fear, but he's got the ability to back it up, and he's got the players around him to bring that out of him even further, you know, so... He's just an exceptional talent, that kid. He really is.
I mean, his risks, youth tends to risk because they don't fear, right? But they're calculated risks. He takes intelligent risks. Mm-hmm. Everybody on their squad knows their roles, right? So when you can bravely sit there and take those kind of risks, So anyway, but basically, one of the brightest young English talents right now, and they have new faces that are producing now, that they've gradually been accumulating. You know, these talents like Rodri, just these players
Gundogan's come out of nowhere and just scoring goals.
I mean, I will say I was so angry at him for skying that penalty last week, and then he comes up and puts himself in the perfect position to score two more. It's just, yeah. And he's one of those players, though. Another one of those players that you mentioned, like you were talking about with Andre Gomez, though, doing his game is not flash. It's keeping the ball ticking over. It's being that engine in the middle, and he's a player I just feel like nobody ever appreciates. I remember talking to. Actually, it was like 2 years ago, one or two years ago, talking to Max Carlisle on this show, and he was saying Gundogan is my favorite player on their team. He's like, he's just underappreciated. And yeah. But they're just, I mean, and Raheem Sterling, I got to be honest, I wasn't sure about that when they bought him, when they purchased him. I was thinking, you know what? He's a good player, but I just don't think it's going to, God.
Yeah.
I mean, he is
another one is John Stones. If you look at John Stones this season, with an actual defensive partner,
yeah,
he's a player that we knew he could be.
Yeah, he's and again, taking more intelligent, not taking those silly risks anymore. You know, doing the Cruyffs, you know, in front of the goal, not really so much of that anymore. And I'm glad to see him do well, to be honest with you.
Yeah,
you know, I know they're. Some supporters who feel like you're not allowed to do that, you know, and for me, it's like, he was a Blue, you know, and I yelled really loud for him and I cared. So
it's almost like
we found him.
We got him from Burnley. We'll take the credit for that one. Not Burnley. Sorry. It was us.
So, if you're thinking, okay, well, I mean, are we? Would you probably say that Sterling and Foden are probably two of the players in terms of like attack where we're like, okay, we have to worry about that.
Yeah. Yeah. But I think it'll be, you just don't know what shape Carlo's going to go into it. Like, what's he going to play? Like, he could go five at the back and have players worried about Foden and Sterling on either side. He could do that. And we, you know, but then you've got Godfrey and you're thinking, Godfrey's a man on a mission at the minute. No one gets past Godfrey. Like, where'd you play him? Is Holgate going to be a liability? Can Coleman keep up for pace? Is Dina available? Like, there's just so many, pieces that you're like, it's a hard one to predict any lineup for us.
If Carlo, if you saw that five at the back formation, or three at the back, five at the back, whatever, we're basically talking about the same thing. If you saw that on the team sheet before the game, would your heart sink just a little? Or would you think that's what's needed?
It's a tough one because you just, again, you don't know how that five's going to play. Is that five going to play with the two wide attacking and being, like you said, three at the back? Or are they just going to tuck in and be like, we'll eat you on the counter? Like Wolves away when he's put four centre-halves at the back and everyone's like, why has he done that? Why have you done that? Yep. And then it turned out to be our best defensive display of the season. You know, that's where players came, Godfrey came to light. It's like, he's a player.
Speaking of that, by the way, it would not surprise me if we did that against City.
No, that nothing surprises me with Everton too much anymore. Nothing surprises me.
Nice.
Three keepers on the bench, big dunk pulling the shirt back on. You never know. You never know.
I'll be honest. I've not been super psyched when I see us run like three at the back, just because I feel like we've struggled at times doing it. But I gotta be honest with you. I think those were situational, and we're gonna be healthy for the most part. Mm-hmm. We're gonna have almost everybody, except for maybe Gbamin.
Who? You just don't know. Is he a player? Is there something in there?
I hope he comes back and he's great. I hope he absolutely smashes it. But poor guy.
So bad for him. Like, yeah. He's missed so long. Like, yes. So long. And it's, he's coming back, and around Christmas time he was meant to be back integrated with the squad, and we're now February and there's no sign of him. Like,
and we
posted a few pictures up of him training.
Yeah, and we've made Besic part of our Premier League squad.
Yeah.
Besic, you know what I mean? So, I mean, I feel like if Gbamin was going to be available, we may not have done that. I don't know.
I don't know. I don't know if this kid's ever – he was touted for big things, but it's a serious, serious injury when it's keeping you out for the best part of 2 years. Was it 2 years? A year?
I think the poor guy's had serious injury after serious injury. You know what I mean? Like, he has one, and then it's a complication. Then he's got another one. It's just, yeah, it's terrible.
Yeah,
but
not a good situation for him.
Anyway, we took a turn. We didn't mean to take a turn. We took a turn. we went into Gbamin land, which, you know, we hope one day will be a pleasant place. But for now, we're going to have most of the options at our disposal. Carlo's gonna have like all the toys,
yeah.
You know, and you're wondering, you know, because you know, City, I feel like we're gonna be healthier than City is, you know. So, having said that, we have no idea how we're gonna line up. We have no idea who's gonna be healthy for them. We have no idea what's gonna happen between then and now. But let's make a prediction. What do you got?
I'm not too confident on that one. I just think it's the mental block, and it's City, and they're on this run. What is it? 15, 16 wins on the bounce.
Yep.
You know, they beat a record from someone like Preston back in the '30s or something the other day. Jeez. So they don't even seem to get out of second gear in some games, and they're still putting three or four past teams, and they have so much creativity. I don't see us winning. I see it being a 2-3-1 game again, depending on Fulham. We lose to Fulham, I think we get a reaction.
Mm.
We coast past Fulham, I think we're not as confident going in. Or we're overconfident and we get picked off.
Mm.
I don't see us getting it. I don't see us getting anything, to be honest. And I hate to say that.
Mm.
Normally I'm optimistic, but I don't see it.
You know, normally I'm not super optimistic, but I'm going to say a draw.
I'll take that.
Which in, you know, if you've got perspective, that is pretty optimistic. You know, I ain't sitting there going, yeah, Mr. Optimism, I picked a draw. No, I'm going to say 2-2. I think there's going to be goals in it. I don't know. I do feel like this will be a nice little primer for us to play them before, you know, because we'll get them again.
Yeah.
Gosh, we're going to get them two more times, aren't we?
Yeah, we still got to play them three times.
Yeah.
Jesus. Good luck. Right. If you got to win things, you got to do the hard way, so yes. We might as well.
You know what? They're in the same league as we are. Let's go just batter them. Let's just let Godfrey and Alan loose and see what happens.
That'd be nice.
All right. So that's the show, Chris. You have successfully made it through a difficult show with a lot of different topics, a lot to cover. And I got to be honest, after this, I am going to have a pint because my brain is begging me to stop thinking. So, Chris, I just want to say thanks so much for coming on the show. It's really nice to meet you.
No problem. It was a pleasure being on it. It was you said it was a tough debut for me, but I got through it in the end. I enjoyed it. It was a good chat.
You did awesome. It's like you've been doing this for a while, man. I feel like for a lot of people, you're just coming on talking about Everton, which is something you know already.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So
speak from the heart and you're good.
That's kind of what we try to do when we do this. It's, you know, conversation, normal talk. So very cool. So you want to put a plug in for Connecticut Toffees really quick?
Yeah, just go give us a follow, see what's happening. If you're in Connecticut, get involved, reach out to us. You know, we'll put you in the WhatsApp group. And when we do eventually meet up, we'll, you know, we'll get together and hopefully we get a bigger crowd going.
Mm-hmm. All right, so you heard the man. If you're in the Connecticut region, go hang out with him. Just saying. Yeah, watch games with him because he'll, you know, he needs someone over which to tower.
Right, I need people.
He needs armrest. Right on. Okay, well, Chris, thanks so much. I'm going to do my spiel for Toffee Blues here. Everybody, if you've been enjoying what you hear, subscribe to the Toffee Blues podcast. Or if you're watching with your eyes, subscribe to the Toffee Blues YouTube channel. We really appreciate it. If you can follow the Toffee Blues on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook, that would also be awesome because there's a lot of content coming out of there. And speaking of content, the Toffee Blues website, a lot of the contributors here on this channel put out written work and analysis, and it's all things Everton. You know, they're cool guys. They acknowledge my presence sometimes. It's great. So, yeah, that's it. Chris, thanks so much. I'll talk to you soon.
Thank you. Thank you, everyone.
Come and, you know, talk to me again, man. It'd be great to have you on again. Definitely. Everybody else out there, we'll see you around three this weekend would be great. I'd love to say it's expected, but it's really not how we do things. Much love. Talk soon. Bye.